again. I'm Drew Wilder. It is your business talk, straight talk. Talk with Stan Sadlak. We're sponsored by Steeplechase Advisors, and we'll tell you towards the end of the show how you can get in touch with Stan, who's been helping businesses out, taxes, real estate, business succession, asset protection, even personnel problems. And he's been doing it for decades right here in the area. And we'll tell you at the end of the show how you can get in touch with Stan for a really no-obligation business consultation. Kind of a no-brainer. And when we get through with the show, you'll be singing Better. We need to do a jingle. Better Call Stan. I know the guy who could do that for us, too. But how are you doing, Stan?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Drew.
So we're talking about disaster relief for a business.
Well, let me tell you how this came up. So yeah. I woke up in the middle of the night with a dream. After watching all of this craziness, lethal, destructive, sinful, sad craziness in the Middle East and in Ukraine. And I woke up because I had a dream that 9 suitcase bombs went off in 9 U.S. cities at 9/11 on one morning.
Oh.
On 9/11,
right,
that morning. And, you know, they were in major cities all simultaneously. And with 10 million illegal aliens here, the Trojan horse has exploded. And so what does the business person do? Where do they go? We talk about gold. We talk about silver. Screw that. You need cans of tuna fish, the cans of peanut butter. That would be the new currency. Now, could this ever happen? Well, I think it would be better to be prepared that something of this nature may or may not occur than to just sit there helpless and have no water to drink.
So have people thought about this, you think? I know there are companies selling survival kits. I don't know how many people buy these things, but do you think people that run businesses or people in general have thought about this?
I think more people do than you might expect, and I think it really probably depends more on businesses who worry about, well, if my building burns down today, where do I go? Right. You know, I've always said that I thought Hartford was the ideal location for a backup disaster recovery headquarters.
Hmm.
Let's say you're in New York City or you're in Boston. You're an hour and a half away from each. You can rent space at a fraction of the price, and you can have your computers all backed up, ready to go on a moment's notice. All you do is hit the button, and you're in business.
Yeah.
So I am sure that all these big companies do have disaster recovery locations, but I don't know where. And the difficulty with that is, how do you get there? I mean, it's the same thing. I think Dakota leads the country in underground homes.
Mm.
They're all old missile silos, which are beautiful. They inside, but they won't say where they are. And I've always said, well, you know, that's fine. All these very wealthy people pay millions of dollars for these bunkers, but how are you going to get there?
And you got to think fast, because in Israel, didn't they all have, like, cellars to go down to, bomb shelters?
Well, they have bomb shelters, and if they got in there and they stayed in there. But take a look. Let's say you're here in Hartford,
yep,
and you say, you know, I'm going to get myself a place up in Vermont.
Right.
I'm going to be able to escape up there.
Yep.
Well, don't forget, along the way, you got to go over many bridges. You've got to go across many rivers. I mean, how are you going to get there?
It takes a couple of hours to get there. And, I mean, you got to think fast when something happens. But, like, in Israel, they just stormed into people's houses and apartments. They didn't have time to go down to their bomb shelters.
Yeah, but, see, we don't believe that'll happen here.
No. We're a reactive society. Every time something big happens that's bad, it's like now, all of a sudden, all the money is spent on that incident, protecting people, but no one ever saw it coming, even though we know it's coming.
And the brutality that we saw, I mean, we have so many of these terrorists here. I mean, if you take a look at what happened to the people of Israel, mm-hmm, it's disheartening the way they killed the children, they killed the parents, gouged out their eyes, cut off limbs. They took the children, cut off their feet, and then put a bullet in the back of their head, cut off their arms, put a bullet in the back of their head. So it can happen here, and I want to make a point of serious concern that you must be prepared here for a disaster.
Right.
Of what type? We don't know. It could be a natural disaster of floods or, you know, or storms.
Mm-hmm.
So if you own a business, where do you go? What do you do?
What's the first thing a business owner should do?
Maybe it depends on the business. Maybe have a remote location 60 miles away where they can open up and run. Mm-hmm. It can be mothballed. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a marginal business, you're not doing well, why do that?
Right.
But it makes sense to have that backup. Makes sense to have different suppliers. Mm-hmm. I mean, if one supplier goes out of business, you need to have a backup supplier.
And you need business interruption insurance, right? I mean, do most businesses have that? I know you're into insurance as well.
Well, you have business income insurance.
Okay.
And yes, that's very, very important to have because many times, you know, people will insure the building that they're in or, you know, their warehouses or their equipment, but they don't take into account insuring the income that they lose because they can't run their business.
Right.
And how do they handle that or cover that? So it's very important to look at both of those. So it's also a time to look at your insurances and make sure that, you know, you're covering all your bases.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure to take a look at what will your employees do. For example, if you do have a disaster, will you lay off your employees or will you continue to pay them? What kind of business interruption insurance do you have? Is it full payroll? Is it partial payroll? So, for example, maybe, you know, if you lay people off and let them go, they may not come back.
Yeah, they may never come back, and now you're going to have a
problem. So if you lose key people, that could really have a detrimental impact on your business. Similarly, if the owner dies, what do you do?
Right.
What is the backup plan for that? Who's going to step in and run things? And what kind of estate planning has the business owner or the key people done? Do they have a will? Do they have a buy-sell agreement? Do they have key man insurance to keep the business running? Does the wife have any idea what to do? Or the children of the owner? Do they have a plan? Are they involved in the business? Are they not involved in the business? It's a matter that needs to be addressed very specifically and on a regular basis. So we look at simple things that will occur. So all of a sudden tomorrow, you're driving into work and you see that your building is on fire. What do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
Who do you call?
Fire. What? How about the fire department first? Unless you have a fire hydrant in your car.
Well, I don't think so. But, you know, it's like when you have an automobile accident, what do you do? It's one thing, you know, to read about what to do, but it's another thing, you know, when you're a little bit in shock.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, when you have a bad accident, you're not thinking straight.
Right. You need to get, you know, your insurance card, your license, your registration. Who the heck's thinking of all that
you're
worried?
The catastrophe in Israel. I mean, that's why they didn't have time to go down to their bomb shelter or take out their gun. They weren't expecting that, of course. They probably weren't expecting so much of the United States now against them. Well, let's just do a ceasefire.
Well, I think that's a whole different investigation to follow. I mean, how did this ever happen?
Right.
I mean, we've heard people drop the ball. We've heard conspiracies. We're hearing everything under the sun may have occurred there. And I think that's a discussion for a later date. But I am concerned about this conflict becoming bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Spreading to the United States. So if you are a small businessman, again, I'm going back to my small businessman.
Mm-hmm.
To me, a small business guy is anywhere from himself to 100 employees.
Mm-hmm. Okay? That's small, really. It sounds big. 100 employees.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, those businesses are what drive America.
Right.
It's, you know, not the big companies. It's the little guy worries about payrolls.
Yeah.
He worries about how does he find new people? How does he keep the supply chains in place? And how does he operate? So he also has to worry that if he does run into a problem, how will he keep his people?
Right.
I mean, it takes so much today to train people. What do you do? Most people do not have the proper insurance.
I was going to say, I would think the first thing would be look into business interruption insurance.
Yeah, but there's different degrees of business interruption. I mean, there are the fixed costs like the electricity, you know, the insurances, the water,
And then your people are,
You know, and then there's the people.
Right.
And where do you put the value on the people? Where do you, you know, you have insurance on your computers you know, maybe getting those back up. I mean, many times you'll have to relocate for a temporary period until your business is rebuilt. Well, do you have additional money to relocate to a temporary location? And what about the build out of that location?
Wouldn't the insurance pick that up? Or it would have to be a rider on the policy? Or
you better know what you have in your insurance.
Yeah. I bet you most people have no idea what they have. I'm just reading an insurance policy, or just reading my auto insurance. I mean, I kind of look at it, but can't say I read every word.
You know, when they say you've got all the best coverages, don't. Just take the minute, go through your policy and make sure you understand what you have and what you don't have.
And you'll help people. Part of what you do as a business consultant for decades in this area, that's something you will help.
Well, you really need to have access to the right people. I mean, that's really a lot of what I do. Mm-hmm. I just know the right people to call when there's an issue or how to find new people. And, you know, for example, how do you find new employees these days? What's the best way to do this? Is it Indeed? Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, another service? Is it a headhunter business? Is it word of mouth? How do you find people?
Right. It's hard to find people. Getting a little bit easier, as we've said, with unemployment going up a little. But, so that's something you'll help them with, too, finding people or finding where to go for people, qualified people.
Right. Well, you know, we'll brainstorm. Yeah. I mean, I'm on the meter. So, for example, if you I'm like an attorney or your accountant that comes in and says, okay, I want to do this and this, and I work on an hourly basis to try to help them to make that restaurant better, to make that manufacturing operation better, or to make that, you know, insurance operation better. But it's a way of trying to be a sounding board and guide people in the right direction. I mean, and you have to keep the boat afloat, and you have to keep it heading in a direction. And what if something goes wrong along the way? What if you get a hole in the bottom of the deck? How do you keep the boat going? How do you operate? And we're always going to suffer from adversities. Mm-hmm. We're always going to have problems in business, whether it be quality control, people problems, disasters. But it's knowing how to be prepared for them and how to get back on track. I mean, that's what you need to do. Once you get pushed off track, you got to figure somehow to get back on course. It's like, you know, you're a salesperson, okay? Mm-hmm. You go out there and you've got a track to follow to try to educate the person.
Yep.
And they give you all sorts of curveballs along the way. Well, you got to know how to get back on track to really help the person do what they want to do, because you're well-intentioned to help them to brand themselves, but they're kind of, well, I don't really need this. You know, they always fight it. We're resistant. You know, when you walk into a store and there's a salesman out front trying to say, hey, can I help you? Yeah, can I do that? And your immediate reaction is to resist.
Right.
I don't want to deal with
anybody. Defensive. Well, that's why I sell dissatisfaction doing radio advertising. I mean, if someone's satisfied with the way things are and doesn't believe that they could do better or doesn't want to do better, then they're not a prospect.
Right. And hey, look, when you're doing disaster recovery, I mean, how many people or businesses have food there?
Right.
I mean, what if everything gets shut down for a week? How are you going to eat? Do you keep food in the place? How do the people get back home? I mean, so many times when there's a major disaster and people try to leave work and go home and they get into flooded areas, they die.
Right.
Sometimes you're better off to wait it out or see where it's going to go.
That's a big decision to make, and you don't have a lot of time to think about it.
I bet when you decide to fly someplace, well, if you want to go to Texas, and it's winter in America, say it's January or February, so do you fly through Detroit or do you fly through Atlanta?
Probably through Atlanta.
Why?
Because of the winter weather in Detroit.
It's safer.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, exactly. I would not want to be in, it's kind of like Buffalo, New York. Last place I'd want to be during the winter or any time. Yeah. I mean, it's just Detroit is right on, what is it, Windsor's, right adjacent to Windsor on
Ontario.
Canada. I mean, their winters are horrible. I only know that from air checking radio stations back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And hearing their forecasts growing up in New York City, saying, oh, that would be the last place I want to be. Until I heard a station in Buffalo, WKBW, and heard their weather. I said, now Detroit's looking a little better.
So do you remember when we had 9/11, how you reacted that day when you not know what was going on?
Exactly.
So when we now have, I mean, it is very naive of anybody in our listening audience to believe that what happened in Israel, what happened 9/11, will not happen again here.
Or how they would react.
So the question is not if, the question is when.
Right.
When these terrorist cells become activated and cause destruction? So if you're listening and you're at home, you better be prepared in having a supply of food, a supply of water, a supply of clothes. I don't know how you're going to keep your house warm, but this will happen. I don't know when. I don't know how.
No, the odds are better than 50-50, which I hate to say it, but everything's gone wrong in this country to set that happening up. Our show should be sponsored by Hormel. Maybe that's one of ours. I've never had Hormel. Isn't that the canned
stuff? You know, it's funny. The hot dog Wienermobile was in town recently. they got a brand new one.
You know, really? Okay.
Oscar Mayer, I guess it is.
Yeah.
The hot dog cart. And it made a stop over in Vernon.
Is that right?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
Oh, that's interesting. It's still around.
Brand new one. They got a brand new one now.
Wow.
They're going back into business to promote this.
And I still remember their jingle from radio.
That's right.
I'd like to be an Oscar Mayer.
And I've seen it on the highway quite a few times.
Is that right?
So I don't know if they have regional ones or how they work it, but that's branding. That's marketing. That's
exactly
what we talked about before. So today you have to market for tomorrow to stay in business, to keep things flowing. But you have to be prepared that if something falls out between today and tomorrow, that you can recover.
Right.
And that's what's happened. So many of these, COVID knocked so many of these industries out that they never recovered.
Right.
They couldn't sustain themselves for 1 to 2 years with no revenue, no business, no nothing.
Right. But the ones that had foresight did even better. And the ones who didn't have foresight and just kept doing the same thing over, expecting a different result, they went out of business.
Right. I mean, it all gets in how to plan out what you do. What is the end game? Mm-hmm. And to be prepared for a difficult process along the way. And then there was a lot of greed and graft along the way where people got these funds that really should not have gotten.
Oh, yeah.
Them.
Well, that was bound to happen. Yeah. I mean, I predicted that one like on third day, fourth day.
Well, it's like us giving $100 million to Hamas.
Yeah. Well, we would never do that, would we? Oh, we did do that. So,
Some of this is just so mind-boggling. It's beyond belief.
And most people, I don't think, really have any idea. They think, I've told that to a couple of my liberal people in my family and friends. It's, oh, you're watching Fox News too much, drinking the Kool-Aid, Drew. But it did happen.
So, you know, I listen to different news. I listen to Fox, I listen to NPR, I listen to BBC, I listen to CNN, and you'd be surprised most recently how it's been much more closer together than you might imagine. In some ways, they really go off into the very deep end, but for the most part, the news has been very, very similar on all the stations.
Oh, it has. Well, Israel is pretty much on the same playing field with all the media in this country. It's just, it's all just everything is unimaginable until it happens.
So assuming, you know, we do have a disaster, what do you think is going to be the biggest problem in the near term?
I would think, well, losing customers, fear is what drives customers away.
When they tell us we've got a snowstorm coming, yeah, what happens
exactly
at the grocery store?
Right. Everyone buys groceries.
What happens at the hardware store?
Everyone buys hardware.
So,
but what happens at the at a restaurant? No one goes in.
Right, but what's going to happen? Well, most of those restaurants end up helping out other people.
Right.
But yeah, so how much of a supply of food should you have at home?
Probably enough. I mean, to me, it's like inevitable that something is going to happen. The table's been set.
So why aren't people concerned about it?
I think people are so busy in their lives that it's human nature to just live your life and keep going until something bad happens, and then now you're gonna care about that. I mean, look at politicians. Look at Social Security and Medicare. Is anyone doing anything about that? And we're closing in on 2032, I think it is.
Yeah, well, our national debt is now $1 trillion a day.
Right. That's what our interest is. $1 trillion a year. Is it $1 trillion a year?
A day.
Out of six, a day. It's mind-boggling, but no one cares. Just keep, you know, but here's $100 million for these people and $50 million. Yeah, well, it's because when people are bribed and they get free money, they don't keep going.
So who runs the controls the currency in this country?
The Federal Reserve.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And they have 12 branch banks.
Right.
But who owns the Federal Reserve?
The government. No?
Are you sure?
That's true. The government is not supposed to influence.
It is the Federal Reserve is privately owned.
It is privately owned.
It's been rumored by many that's the Rothschild family out of Europe.
Wow. And they caused a lot of this mess with inflation, too much money out there. And everyone knew that was happening, but no one, you know, again, free money, no one says no.
So when we had our depression in this country, do you know who bailed this country out?
World War II.
A Hartford native.
A Hartford native? Really?
J.P. Morgan.
Is that
he
right?
He saved the country. He loaned the country the money to make it through.
I thought it was World War II that pumped up the economy and got us out of
it. Well, I mean, the Depression was 1929. That's
right.
1940. So, 41. Right. So, we had to survive that period. But
so, it was J.P. Morgan.
J.P. Morgan who saved the...
So, who's going to save the country now?
Well, probably Elon Musk, maybe. I don't know. I mean, he's the wealthiest guy in the world right now. And, you know, I mean, it's amazing how many things he gets into and how many government contracts he gets.
And how much hate is against him.
Yeah.
But that's the way this world goes. The more successful you look at Amazon, the more successful you are, the more people hate you.
So you have to go back to your disaster plan.
Yep.
And it gets as simple as looking at your house. There's a fire at 1:30 in the morning. How do you get out? You need to sit there and have a plan and say, how do we get out and where do we meet? Well, that's the same thing you do for disaster recovery for a business. Mm-hmm. There's an emergency. When you're a kid in school, they have fire drills. How many businesses do a fire drill? How many businesses have exit plans on the walls? How many businesses have alternatives for people should a disaster hit their community?
Right. So just the options, because we talk about how Steeplechase Advisors helps with business taxes, real estate, insurance, asset protection, even personnel problems. But what to do if something like a nightmare happens?
You know, 20 years ago, I got into this kick of doing disaster recovery for businesses.
Hmm.
And, you know, we would talk to a lot of different firms and companies. And I was always amazed at how much people really enjoyed talking about disaster recovery.
Right.
But they never did anything about it.
But they never did. What would get them to do something? I guess some...
A disaster.
A disaster. Yeah, that would do it. But, it's mind-boggling. I guess there are companies that do specialize in disaster recovery.
Yes, there are. But it's, you know, they're really focused on the big companies. I'm talking about the small, mid-sized companies we have. That the accessibility is, or the accessibility to people that can do that is very limited.
Right. I know there are cleaning companies that specialize in almost disasters.
Well, they do restoration.
Right, exactly.
So you know, they might be on the list of, well, okay, you got to bring a restoration company to do this.
Okay. So where do people, so you offer a no obligation business consultation for your business. How do people get in touch with you? You
give me a call at 860-524-3408. You know, if you came to work today and this building were burned down, will you have other studios in what, New London?
We do, so we'd have to commute to Ledyard.
Well, there you go. You've got a backup plan already in place.
But I don't think anyone's thought about it.
But what's interesting in your business, you can work out of your house.
That is true, but if the house goes down and the station goes down, there's always Ledyard.
That's correct.
And I don't think terrorists will find Ledyard. They might find Hartford, Connecticut. I don't think they'd find. I had never heard of Ledyard till I worked. I mean, I kind of knew the casino was there, but I wasn't totally sure where it was until the casino opened up, whatever that was, 15, 20 years ago. But the terrorists, I don't think they'll find Ledyard. So we better not publicize it. But no terrorists listen to this show, of course. So
we know the FBI is listening to us, right?
They're listening. Well, maybe they're the terrorists. That's another show. So they get in touch with you by email or phone?
Well, you can email me, stan@stsworld.net, or you can call me at 860-524-3408.
860-524-3408. Disaster planning, recovery, nightmares. Things that are happening now that are not nightmare, they're happening. So they're not really a nightmare. They're reality. So better call Stan. Steeplechase Advisors in Hartford brings you the show, 860-524-3408 for Stan Sadlak. And Stan, thanks so much. It's always very insightful.
Bye, Drew.
I'm going to go out there and bang my head against the wall. This is depressing, but it's real. That's what I tell my daughter. I said, it's real. You got to follow it. I don't really care. Okay. So thanks for listening. Have a good rest of the weekend, and we'll speak to you next time, every weekend at this exact time. It's your business. Stan Sadlak, Drew Wilder. Thanks.